Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
What an honor and a responsibility that I have to deliver the word today. And I'm just so thankful that I get to share, and I have a word in my heart that I know is going to bless you and speak to you. And I want to read to you the text we've been studying. If you would go with me to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to be reading verses 33 through 37. And in review of this series, Pastor has given such great revelation and insight on David and slaying of the lion. Amen? He's provided vital instruction and information to us about trusting the process, right? Passing the test. Come on, how many are still trying to pass the people test? Hallelujah. And the life of a naysayer versus the life of a lion slayer. But one thing that struck me, and let me tell you, I take copious notes in the front row when my husband's speaking, and I get fed by the word of God, by my husband. He's a powerful man of God. He's my pastor. And yes, I love to grow based on the word that he gives me too. So I have taken notes and just love the idea of the field. The field. And I just couldn't shake the thought of the importance of the field and how David spent years in the field tending his father's sheep. And that was his process to the palace. And it is in the field that we are anointed for our future. Yes? Feel free to say amen anytime you want, okay? Because for a lot of us, let's just be honest, the field is hard. I mean, we could totally hashtag that. The struggle is real in the field, right? Can I get an amen? Thumbs up, yep. It can be a place of more questions than answers. And it's something we wish we didn't have to go through. But the field is necessary. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, the field is necessary. And today, I want to share with you how the field is your process to promise. The field is your process to your promise. Though it can be hard, it doesn't have to be in vain. And this is the process to breakthrough. How many want breakthrough? Yes? And there are vital tools. Listen to this. There are vital tools and training in the field that you cannot obtain anywhere else. Let's visit the scriptures we've been reading. If you all stand to your feet in honoring and reading of the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 33 through 37. It says, Saul replied, you are not able. He's talking to David. He's saying, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. He's talking about Goliath. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Everybody say, from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. You ever been seized by your hair before? That sounds pretty crazy, huh? I mean, I've never been completely seized by my hair, but my little six-month-old can sure do a number on me. I'm like, don't take anything with you. Anyway, I seized it by its hair. Definitely not in public. All right. Struck it and killed it. Verse 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, Dios te bendiga, dude. He said, go and the Lord be with you. Now, Saul had no idea, thinking this young man, God bless him. I mean, I don't think Saul had any confidence that David could do anything. It didn't matter what he said he could or could not do. He was like, dude, peace. I hope I see you on the other side. But the title of my message this morning is, I found it in the field. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that is here leaning in and ready to hear your word. I pray, God, that open ears, open hearts, be vigilant this morning, God, that we take notes, that we take listen and keen ear to what it is that you want to speak to us. Lord, that after this service, we leave energized, we leave with supernatural increase, we leave, God, with a fresh perspective, a heavenly, godly perspective on our situation, on our life, where we're headed, who we are, and who we're becoming in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you, Lord. So let me ask, any parents in here? Yes? Moms, dads, yes? Any parents in here? Well, as you know, I'm a mother of three small children, fairly small children. I don't know if Judah still is in the category of small children, but maybe. He's a big 8-year-old kid. Anyway, one thing I dread as a parent. You want to know one thing I dread as a parent? Immunizations. Oh my goodness. I mean, even when a parent posts about, I'm taking my child to get their immunizations, like everybody feels for you. You know what I mean? They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I hope you're going to be okay. Maybe the ladies say that. The guys are like, she'll be all right. You know, but, you know, so I took Zara recently. She just turned 6 months. I took her to go get her immunizations. And, you know, I know that it's a controversial matter, but for the sake of a message, let's just say that immunizations are necessary, okay? But so I took my baby girl Zara, and, you know, it wasn't fun. It never is. This is my third child, and I still don't like immunizations. It never gets easier. It never gets easier because even though I've been through it several times with my other two children, this is her first experience. And I'm an adult. I know what's going on, but she has no idea what's going on. And I just feel like such a crook when I'm looking at her. And I feel like I'm so mean when I'm looking at her. I'm like, yay. And then, you know, it's like, I betrayed you, you know. So she starts crying, and then I start crying, and then we're all crying in there. And then the nurse, you know, they usually have this stoic look on their face. They come in, they come out, and this last time the nurse even held her leg, and she's like, hold it really tight because this one hurts. And I'm like, no. And Zara's crying, and I'm like, I know, she's mean. It's her fault, you know. We don't like her. So, but it was to be expected because not only was I warned about the matter, but because I did my research, hello, I understood what was going on. How many parents, you do your research about immunizations? First service didn't. Second service too? Really? I thought for sure maybe second service you guys do your research. Okay. Some people do their research on immunizations. You know, it's totally okay if you don't do your research. I guess it's being revealing to me that I guess I'm just one of those parents. But it's all right. But in a nutshell, what immunizations are is they're injected with a small dosage of the virus, measles and chickenpox. How many had chickenpox when they were younger? With all that chamomile lotion stuff or whatever it's called, and you got all that pink stuff all over you, and you're on the bed looking all sickly, and, you know, it's like, no, it's not an acne crater. That's actually, you know, a chickenpox, and it's all over your body and stuff. It was terrible. Anyway, in a nutshell, they're injected with a small dosage of the virus, so the body can learn how to fight it off when it comes full strength. But it's necessary because after the immunizations, you become immune, right? And what Zara went through will equip her to fend off the bigger thing. You kind of know where I'm going with this, right? Now, as bad as I wanted to, I couldn't take the shot for her. I can't take my daughter's immunizations on behalf of her. She had to get them for herself. All I could do was cry with her, my sympathy. She had to go through that herself because there are some harmful things coming her way that I cannot fight for her. She has to fight them herself. Some things you can't overcome unless you go through the process of overcoming it yourself. You see, David had to go through the field process by himself. No one could take it for him. No one could slay the lion for him. No one could slay the bear for him. No one could be in the field for him. He had to go through that himself. And let me tell you, I can't slay the lion for you. I can't slay the bear for you. Pastor and I can't do it for you. Your leaders can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it. You have to do your due diligence and go into your own field and slay your own lion and your own bear. You can't be looking at other people. I used to rely on other people's relationship with God, other people's prayer life, other people's anointing to get me to get through my field. But you know what? I have to get myself through my own field. I gotta be in prayer. I gotta be standing vigilant. I gotta be fasting. I gotta be seeking God, saying, Lord, my field is in front of me and I need you. Now I could get instruction. I could get encouragement. I could maybe get some insight. But nobody's gonna slay the lion for you. Nobody can win your spouse back but you. Nobody can pray your child in to the kingdom like you can. Nobody's gonna love him as much as mama loves him, as much as daddy loves him or her. Nobody can slay that anxiety over your life but you in your field. Nobody can change or renew your mind like you can when you submit to the Lord and say, I'm no longer gonna have those suicidal thoughts. Nobody can heal you from your addiction to where you say, you know what? I'm done with alcohol. I'm done with pornography. I'm done with marijuana. I'm done with this stuff. I am gonna slay this lion and this bear for myself. I cannot be there for you and saying, don't do that, don't do that. You have to be vigilant and say, I am not gonna do it anymore. This is my field. This is my lion. This is my bear. I have to go through this myself. By the way, there were no instructions given to David on how to kill a lion or bear, by the way. No manual. I mean, the NLT, New Living Translation, says that David grabbed the lion and bear by the jaw and clubbed it to death. Now, okay, again, I'm a Googler. Just don't get me stuck on WebMD, because then I'll feel like I'm dying at the end. But anyway, I Google, okay, how to kill a lion with your bare hands. I Googled it. And I was like a bit like this because I don't want any pictures. You know, I don't want to see none of that. But anyway, I know how to kill a lion and bear with my own hands. And it was nothing but jokes. Nothing but jokes. Everybody's just making a joke about it. And they said, oh, well, you know, you could stand at the edge of a cliff. And when it comes and pounces at you, you know, it'll fall over the cliff. But, you know, most likely you're going to die. And everything ended with, ha ha, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. So anyway, there was no way without a spear or a weapon of some kind that you could kill a lion or a bear. I mean, Pastor went over the statistics of what are the all the information on how big a lion is and how big a bear is. It's ridiculous how big they are, how huge they are, and how they can overpower you so easily. But, you know, one thing that I learned about David in studying this is that he says he grabbed it by the jaw and clubbed it over the body or the head or whatever and got it. And you know what? That's nowhere in Google. That's nowhere in Google does it say you grab it by the jaw and you just club it to death. There's nowhere in there. I mean, it's like, wow, David had some major insight. But let me tell you something about David, because I believe for David that when he trusted God in his field, he was able to have supernatural strength and ability and strategy to defeat what was in front of him. You know why? Because everybody else that I Googled that maybe went through something or maybe, you know, had ideas about it, they didn't have a lion standing in front of him. David did, because that lion was in his field. That bear was in his field, and some of you have some things in your field, and you're trying to Google, and you're trying to ask, and you're trying to find a bunch of people to tell you how to slay it, but it's not gonna work that way, because you just gotta get out there and slay it for yourself and see that your supernatural instincts that God gives you on how to defeat it for yourself. And let me tell you, David gave all glory to God. all glory to God. See, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, he said, David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Let me tell you, people will look at you with astonishment on how you got through killing lions and bears and are still alive to tell the story. You see, David got to learn and see how real and powerful his God really was when he was in the field. But the field can represent a lot of different places for us. You see, your field could be your healing process. The field is maybe your time to get things right with God, where you clear your conscience, you clear your mind, the washing of the word. The field could be where you just fully surrender. And whatever that may look like or require of you, you're just saying, "I'm surrendered." The field is us wrestling with who we are and who we are becoming. The field could be overcoming certain temptations. I have to overcome these temptations to keep my marriage together, to keep my relationships together, to keep my mind together, to keep my will and emotions together. Perhaps the field is the time you need to renew your mind. You know, you're coming into the house of God and you're like, "Man, you know, I got some crazy thoughts going on in my head. I need to renew my mind. Come on, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal." That is a process. There's a process to that breakthrough. There's a process that God wants to put you through to help you get your mind on heavenly things. Hello. Maybe you're just ready for your next level. You're ready for your next level, and you know, you're saying, "God, use me, I'm ready for my next level." And God just this and puts you right into a field. You're like, "In the field again, back in the field again," because God wants to train you. God wants to mold you. God wants to get you on your feet. God wants to train you to slay more things, bigger things. You're saying, "God, use me." And God's saying, "Okay, well, what I want to use you for is going to require some field work, some field training. I'm going to show you a new angle in the field." And that's what David learned in the field. He learned a new angle in the field. He learned angles on how to slay the lion. He learned an angle on how to slay the bear. He learned an angle in the field. And the field is what builds in us exactly what we need to get through the bigger thing. The field is your process, say my process, of breakthrough. So let me tell you, don't allow the field to be wasted time. David never wasted time. He was patient, but never negligent of his responsibilities. Which leads me to my first point. What did David find in the field? Point number one. He found purpose. He found purpose. David knew that God's help in the field is a prophecy of God's help in his future. Come on. I said David knew that God's help in the field is a prophecy of God's help in his future. Would you agree training without process is unnecessary? I'm sorry. Training without purpose. Training without purpose is unnecessary. Without purpose, it's wasted time. It's wasted time. How so many people waste time in the field because they can't see the God purpose in it. They just think the enemy is attacking them for the sake of tormenting them. "Oh, Lord, you know, Satan, the devil's tormenting me. The devil's tormenting me. Oh, you know, I'm getting attacked. Pray for me. I'm getting attacked." Well, you know what? You don't see the purpose of what God's trying to prepare you for in your field. God is trusting you not only with blessings, but he's trusting you with trial. But when you know that you are called by God, Freedom House, I said, when you know that you are called by God, no attack, no trial, no pain is left without purpose attached to it. Because Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Which is why it's so important to not shortcut your training. Don't shortcut your training. Sarah tried to shortcut it with Hagar. And then her daughter-in-law, Rachel, tried to shortcut it with Bilhah. And you know what? Let me tell you, if you're a parent, if you're a person that is always looking for the shortcut, people are watching. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. They're going to copy mom and dad. They're going to copy uncle and auntie. They're going to copy you and say, well, if they shortcutted it, then maybe I can. You cannot shortcut in a physical realm what God wants to increase in you in a spiritual realm. You cannot shortcut the process. You are cutting yourself short. You're saying, I don't want to learn that much. I just want to learn a little bit to get me through a little bit. Divorce may seem easier at times. Divorce is kind of a shortcut for some. I know there's legitimate biblical reasons for that, but I'm talking about you who knows it's not legitimate reasons. It's petty reasons. It's selfish reasons. But if you know it can be worked out, then ask the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to work it out. You're in the field of your marriage. You gotta fast. You gotta pray. You gotta find your angle and say, I'm gonna fight for my marriage. I'm gonna fight for my spouse. Even though they get on my last nerve, I am committed to fulfilling my vows to work it out. Lashing out at someone that is slandering you, that's a shortcut. That's a shortcut. Anybody can throw a punch back, but not everybody can turn the other cheek. Perhaps on Facebook, we do a lot more slapping with our fingertips and with our hands these days, huh? Yeah? With our thumbs and with our fingertips. Oh, they said this. Well, you know what? You know what? If you're going to succumb to that kind of bait, then you're not ready for your breakthrough. You ain't ready for the lion and the bear. You want to slay things in your life? You want to slay the lions? You want to slay the bears? You want to come out? You want your field to be a purposeful process? Then watch those tiny decisions that you make along the way. And it's the ones that seem irrelevant when somebody is watching. Trust me. The shortcut, substance abuse, drugs, alcohol, pornography, and other addictions, those are shortcuts because it seems easier to help you cope and ease your mind at the moment. It does ease the mind at the moment. It does take you to another place at the moment. It does sedate you. But deliverance can usher in the peace of God that is so deep, you can't even understand it. You can't explain it. You can't fathom it. You can't even put it into words. I'm telling you, there's a process for deliverance. But let me tell you, it lasts a whole lot longer than all that other stuff. Everybody say, purpose is everything. When you're wandering outside of purpose, you will make full circle every time. Have you ever met someone that has a cycle in their lives? You know, they come and they got the same old look on their face than they did last year. They even got the same clothes on. They even got the same old shoes on with all those shnikes, you know? It's like, you haven't changed a bit. There's some people that are just content with just being. Like being, like I am just being, like I don't care about accomplishing anything. I don't want purpose. I don't want healing. I don't want anything. I'm just being. And God didn't create us to just be. He created us to thrive. He created us for a purpose. My parenting, I want my children to not just survive. I want them to thrive. I want to equip them to be healers. I want to equip them to be world changers. I want to equip them what they need, because when they go in their field, mommy and daddy can't go in there with you, baby girl. Mommy and daddy can't go with you, baby boy. You're going to have to learn how to throw your own shots. You're going to have to learn the tactic to get your own enemy down in your life. You're going to have to learn how to defeat your own depression. You're going to have to learn how to seek God for yourself. Cycling the same spirit You're cycling because you just haven't changed. You don't want to change. It's hard to change. Well, you can't conquer what you don't confront. Cycle in their lives, always moving but never arriving. You know, everybody's growing. Everybody's growing. Some of you are growing in wisdom. Some of you are growing, you know, in your marriage. Some of you are growing in your heart. Some of you are growing, growing, growing. And some of you are growing weary. Some of you are growing tired. Some of you are growing more stress. We're all moving and growing, but how are you growing? Cycling the same spirit over and over. It's like she shows up again with the same guy, but a different face. He got that same look on his face too, just like the other two guys did. She says she wants a good man, but she keeps picking up the same kind of man because she's attracted to the spirit. He keeps showing up with the same girl. She carries the same spirit, that promiscuous spirit. And they keep cycling over and over. Different face, same girl. Same thing. And you know, in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it dedicates 3 chapters talking about being aware and warning of the promiscuous woman, the adulterous woman. And this is what I tell all the ladies. I say, men don't seek her, women don't be her. All right? The cycle, always making promises to change, but never changing. You ever meet somebody like that? Saying, this is the last time, but you're right back in there the following week. When you find purpose in your process, you'll experience your breakthrough. Purpose causes you to break the cycle. So everybody say, break the cycle. There's healing in your revelation of your purpose. That in spite of all you've done, all that's been done to you, everything you've been through, purpose tells us that God still wants to use us. That's what purpose says. Purpose says God still loves you. And not only does he love you, you're not loved damaged goods. You are loved to purpose. You are loved to be used. God still has a plan for you, and that never gets old. Never. Okay, here's my second point. You ready? Things found in the field. You find who God is and who you are. You find who God is and who you are. David found God, his defender. God, his defender. David said in Psalm 18, 1 through 3, it says, how I love you, Lord. You are my defender. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. I call to the Lord, and he saves me from my enemies. Praise the Lord. How many sometimes you're in your field, and you just feel that you need God to defend you? You got your enemies coming, and you don't know how exactly to swing your arm or to swing your sword or what's going to happen. You say, God, I need your defense. I need you right now. God will meet you there. He is your defender. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, the Lord is your mighty defender, perfect and just in all his ways. Your God is faithful. Thank God he's faithful and true. He does what is right and fair. God is your defender. Say, God's my defender. David found God, his protector. So not only his defender, but his protector. Psalm 57, 1 through 7. I want to read it to you. 7 scriptures here. It says, and this is David saying this. He's crying out to Lord. This is after he slayed the lion and the bear. He says, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. Now listen to verse 4. You ready? I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. He's still defeating lions and bears. Be exalted, O God. Listen to his next verse. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path. Listen to this. But they themselves have fallen into it. But they themselves have fallen into it. And let me tell you something, church, that when you rely on God, your protector, the very trap that the enemy sets for you, they are setting up for themselves. The very pit that they want you to fall in, they will fall in. The very thing that they tried to come against you to destroy you will be destroying them. Let me tell you, there is purpose in your field. There is purpose in your breakthrough. Your field is important that you get to know who God is. I love this next verse. Verse 7. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. Now let's read this last part together. What does that say? No wonder. Come on, everybody, say it together. No wonder I can sing your praises. Oh. Let me tell you. Are you surprised you've gotten up some mornings? Are you surprised you're here this morning? Isn't it amazing that you've made it through life this far? Something has gotten you up. Something has given you supernatural energy. Something inside of you gives you a will to press on and to go forward. Let me tell you something. No wonder I saw y'all worshiping. I saw y'all praising God. You came in loving Jesus. You praised him. You praised him. You loved him. And you said, wow, Lord, I love you no matter what. No wonder I can praise you. No wonder I can sing your praises. Because you know that God loves you. You know he's your defender. You know he's your protector. You know he gives you the ability to get back up. Thank you, Jesus. David learned in the field that it's hard. He learned in the field it's hard. Yes? Is it hard? He's weary from distress. He said it himself. He goes, I'm in distress. I am weary from distress. But let me tell you, he refuses to put up with lions. And had he not already slain lions and bears with the help of the Lord, he'd have reason to be afraid. But when you've seen God, your defender, when you've seen God, your protector in action, on the field, in your life, you're not easily shaken anymore. I said, you're not easily shaken anymore. Your spouse wants to hit the road, these things out. You know what? It's not going to shake me anymore. I'm not going to be shaken by that anymore. Somebody's coming against you, slandering. I'm not going to be shaken anymore. A bad report comes your way from the hospital. I'm not going to be shaken anymore because God was with me in the field and he'll be with me now. He'll be with me now. And I'm just talking to some Christians, some believers, some men and women of God out there that have the tenacity to say he was with me then and he's with me now. Oh, come on. You need to say it. Say he was with me then. And he's with me now. Oh, if you say it like that, the devil's gonna come get you. Come on. Say, he was with me then. And he's with me now. Come on, some of you have been serving God for 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know how long, but let me tell you, there's still things to slay. There is still purpose in the field. He was with you then, and he's with you now. He was with you then. And he's with you now. You know how I know that? Because you're here. Because you're serving God. Because you're still hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because you're saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let my field have no purpose. I'm coming because I want what Jesus wants for me. It doesn't matter how powerful the lions appear. David got to know God, the deliverer, in the field. You get to know who you are because you know who he is in you. Third point, David found confidence in the field. David found confidence in the field. Confidence. In Psalm 57, David is likening his enemies that are after him as lions. But because he had already faced and defeated lions, he can end his psalm with confidence. With confidence. Confidence that God is going to deliver him. Confidence that these lions are within his level of defeat with God. Confidence that God is with him. Confidence when you walk into that hospital. Confidence when you stand up for what is right to your family. Confidence when you join your family at the Thanksgiving table. Oh, they're going to say, oh, stop it. Are you praying with them again? Why are you praying with them again? Why are you sharing scriptures? Come on. I remember. I know who you are. Quit trying to put up this godly front. Quit trying to say that you're saved now, that you're changed. Oh, no. I defeat you. You weren't there. You weren't there in my field when I defeated a lion and a bear. Oh, I'm ready for this. And you can look them in the eye lovingly and say, you don't know my purpose like I do. You don't know. Now I'm going to fulfill that purpose. Whether you like it or not, the Sauls will come in your life and they'll say, you're just a little young man. You're just a little young woman. The enemy will always come and tell you where you're small, tell you where you come up short, tell you where you lack. You can't speak. You have a stuttering problem. You're stage fright. You're not smart enough. Confidence to stand up. You can walk into those places not because you know who you are, but because you know who He is in you. You know who He is in you. And David knew who God was. My fourth point, David found capacity in the field. David found capacity in the field. Jesus said in Luke 22:42, Jesus is saying this. Now, Jesus was fully God, but He was also fully man while here on earth. And He had a very human moment. And He said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. And then those beautiful words, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. You see, Jesus, even in His humanity, had a moment where His capacity was tested to endure the process of the cross. Oh, but aren't we glad? Aren't we so blessed? Aren't we so free? Aren't we so forgiven today? Because Jesus committed to the process. Because Jesus said, not my will. Oh, how I want out of this field. Oh, how I want out of slaying the lion and slaying the bear. Oh, how it's so hard on me. Oh, but you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. I need to say it again. Not my will, but your will be done. Some of us feel so offended sometimes that God wants to use us. Why me? Why me? Because sometimes it comes with a price. It comes with a price. God wants to use you, but God ain't gonna just throw you out there for the lions to devour you. He got to train you. He got to train you. So stop looking at the call of God as a curse of God. It's a blessing of God. And when you get the revelation that being in the field is a blessing of God, oh, then God's gonna use you to slay some bigger things. And you're gonna be able to say yes, yes, yes. You're gonna be able to go, go, go. You're gonna be able to slay, slay, slay. And guess what? God's gonna wanna use you more. Because if David could be faithful with lambs and sheep, how much more faithful would he be with sons and daughters? The greater thing. See, there's greater levels of enemies to fight, but there's also greater real estate to overcome. Greater things. Greater things. The process is what expands our capacity. And when you ask God to remove that you're no longer willing to, when you ask God to remove the process, you're no longer willing to grow and go further than who you are and where you are right now. But thank you, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. But you see, right after Jesus submitted to the process, not many of us read the next verse. Verse 43, put it up. It says, then, everybody say then, an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And strengthened him. Let me tell you, Freedom House, when you commit to the process, when you commit to your process of breakthrough, when you commit to the field and say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done, God brings encouragement. God brings strength at just the right time. God is there with you to lift you up and set you high upon a rock and say, my child, I believe in you. Sometimes we need somebody to just say that, I believe in you. You can do this. Someone that knows your past, someone that knows that you have a shady past can look at you and say, I believe in you. Say, thank you, Jesus, for believing in me. And sadly, as I close, you can also find the wrong things in the field. You can also find the wrong things in the field. Some people find fear in the field. Some people find doubt, worry, bitterness, jealousy. Oh, how come I don't have their field? How come they get to have green grass? I just got weeds. You know, everybody should have an avocado and lemon tree. They got an avocado and lemon tree in their field. All I have is just hay and sheep that don't like me. They stink. How come I don't have their field? Why don't I have their problems? Why can't I deal with their husband instead of my husband? Why can't I deal with their finances instead of my finances? Why can't I have their job instead of my job? Always, always comparing your field to their field. And let me tell you something I've learned. Never ask for somebody else's cross because you don't know how heavy it is. You carry your own cross and you thank God for your cross. You know, I had moments in the field that left me feeling dry, feeling like I was in the desert. I had moments. I'm not preaching to you anything that I haven't been through myself. I've had moments where I've had to cry out to God and say, God, what is going on? You know, even as a little girl, all the way to my adulthood, I battled bouts of depression, bouts of just those types of anxieties. And, you know, as a little girl, I was bullied as well. I was bullied in elementary, and I was bullied in high school. In elementary, I remember them pinning me up against a fence and throwing dirt on me. And another time, they even made a song about me. And they said, Marie's it, she had a fit, what a stupid idiot. And they would sing that on the jungle gym while I was there. And as I got older, in high school, they threw mud on my car, they spit all over my car, they'd curse at me and call me names down the hallway as I was walking. And I say, why, God? Why? Why do I keep going through this? Why? Why do I keep battling this depression, these things, this oppression? Why do I keep battling all this stuff, Lord? Because let me tell you, when you know you're called by God, you've got to search for the answer. There's a purpose in it. And I was determined to say, God, is there a purpose in all this? Is there a reason why? Why do I keep being so sensitive? Why am I so depressed? God, if you created me like this, that's messed up. But tell me, Lord, did you create me like this? And the Lord answered me, and I felt him speak to my spirit. He's like, yes, I did. And I'm like, well, that's not right. But he said, I created you to be sensitive, because I was bullied because I was really sensitive. I was just susceptible to those things. I didn't stand up for myself a lot. And the Lord just spoke to my spirit and said, you know, as easy as you fall into depression, as easy as you succumb to certain thoughts and things, as easy as you fall into that, because I just was astonished how easy I would just fall into that. You ever feel like you're great one day and then boom, you just hit the floor the next day. It's like, man, things were going so great yesterday. Then all of a sudden, I'm in this dark place. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Marie, I created you with that sensitivity. Because as easy as you lean to the left into that depression and into that dark place, that's how easy you can lean to the right, into my presence, into my arms, into my holy of holy places. So I said, you know what? You made me that way, then I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it for your glory. And then all of a sudden, a microphone came in my hand. And then all of a sudden, a voice started coming out and started singing. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit overwhelm me and consume me. And I said, oh, I went through the field of depression. I went through the field of insecurity. I went through the field of battling and slaying my lion and my bear. But now I'm coming. sober, now vigilant. Now I understand why God created me this way. I understand that it is not something against me, but it is a blessing, and I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna use it as a tool to help other people get through their other side and get victory in their lives. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Say thank you, Jesus. The very thing that the devil wants to use to hurt you, the very thing that he comes and attacks you with, is usually in alignment with the very thing that God has gifted you with. He's after my joy. He's after my song. He's after my authority. The enemy tried to bully me as a little girl. Tried to bully me and call me names and label me and make me shrink back because he saw destiny inside of me. He knew that I was a woman of authority. I was a woman of God in the making, in training, in the field. And let me tell you right now that when the enemy tries to bully me and come against me now, I say, oh, I've already slain that bully spirit. And I rebuke you and I send you back. Am I talking to anybody today? Does anybody understand what I'm trying to tell you right now? How did I overcome it? By being faithful and saying, God, I'm a person that has to know why about everything. Why? I Google everything. Why? But I'm content with the Lord saying, I'm not going to tell you why. Just trust me that there's purpose attached to it. And then I say, okay, that's my answer. Okay, because there's purpose attached to it. You may not know why you're going through what you're going through right now. Oh, I feel a holy moment right now. You may not understand what you're going through. You may not be able to articulate, put into words, find the chronological order, what led you to where you're at today. You may not understand the field that you're in right now. But let me tell you, if you allow God time in your prayer closet, time in your field to seek the Lord for that purpose, he'll give it to you. He'll show you and he'll bring you out. He'll bring you out of it. Testimony after testimony of women of God who has said, I'm believing God for my marriage and I'm not giving up. And how God just sees them on the other side because they stayed steadfast. Lord, I don't know what's going on in my husband's life, or the husband saying, I don't know what's going on in my wife's life, but you know what? I'm going to continue to be steadfast. I'm going to continue to slay what's in front of me and not worry about what's to the left or to the right. See, sometimes we can get so consumed with other people's fields, what they have to slay, what they have to overcome, and how their lions and bears are messing up ours. No. You want to save your marriage? You get in alignment. You want to save your children? You begin to pray. You begin to seek God. You begin to sow. You want a breakthrough in your life? You take that step forward. You want a breakthrough in your life? You begin to sow. You begin to tithe. You begin to get connected. And you know what? It's a lonely road. The field is a place of isolation at times. I have felt very lonely in my desert at times, which is why I have to be conscious and say, I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to get plugged into the house of God. I'm going to get into connect groups. I'm going to get some people around me that can speak into my life. I'm going to surround myself in the presence of God. You know, one of the greatest revelations I found out in the field is that it's lonely, but I'm not alone. David was by himself. David was by himself for a long time out there, trying to figure out years. He was by himself. But God delivered him each and every time. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Because sometimes all you have is God. And the reason is because God wants you to know he's all you need. Those lonely moments are important in the beginning because you need to find that God's all you need. He's all you need. But God doesn't want you to stay there forever. Say, Lord, help me in my field. Take me, Lord. to the next level in my life. Help me to find the angle against my lion and my bear. Come on, don't allow yourself to wallow in your field. Don't pick up bad habits in the field. There are things to pick up that are good for you in the field, things that you need, things that you want God to do in your life. You know, I want to say what it's really all about. It's about having a real, authentic relationship with God. And you don't want to know how David learned about God? He didn't learn it in the room being anointed by Samuel. He didn't learn it, being in the palace. He learned it in the field. And if you can learn how to be vigilant, how to be strengthened, how to strengthen yourself in the field, I'm telling you, God will strengthen you. He'll take you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And your salvation will never be in vain. Your salvation will never grow old. You'll never grow weary in those things. Because you're saying, God, I'm submitted to the process. Say, I'm submitted to the process. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're asking God for breakthrough. You're asking God to help you in your process right now. Listen, if you're in need of breakthrough, then invite the process. And if that's you right now, you're in your field and you've been pushing away the field process. You've been pushing it away. You've been tired. You've been growing weary. And instead of allowing God to use it, you've been pushing it away. I want you to come to the altars. We have just a few short minutes here. Say, I don't want to push my field away. I want to be tenacious about it. I want to find purpose in it. Lord, I want to be right standing in my field. Help me, Lord, to find insight in my field. Come on, there's things to learn in the field. Some of us running from it. Learn it in the field. That authentic one-on-one time with the Lord that you have in the field. Treasure it. Treasure it and say, God, use me. God, speak to me. God, take me to that next level. Some of you are running from being authentic with God because that means you have to be 100% transparent with Him. Means you have to be meaningful with your time now and not just waste it on idle time. One of David's greatest traits was his transparency toward God. Just come and be transparent. Come and be transparent and say, God, there's some ugly things in my field that I don't know how to come against them. I don't know how to overcome them. God, give me an angle. Give me insight. I've been relying on so many other things to help me to cope and to get through. But right now, I'm relying on you. I'm relying on you. So for everybody that's here at the altar right now, everybody just stretch your hands toward them right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, that they fully rely and trust and lean on you in the moments that they're in the field, in the moments, God, that they feel weary. God, that they will not grow weary, that they will not grow jealous, that they will not grow fearful, that they will not grow doubt, but that they grow confidence, that they grow, God, in your purposes, that they know, God, who you are to them in the field, that you're going to defend them, love them, be there for them, provide for them. I pray, God, that you take them to a place, God, that they know that you're there. They know, God, they know that they know that they know that there's purpose in what they're going through. Come on, Freedom House, don't be asking for breakthrough, but expecting a breakdown. We have to be vigilant. We have to be able to articulate and say, Lord, I don't want to break down in the field. I want to break through. Come on, I don't want to break down in the field. I want to break through. Come on, let's worship Him.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.